A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
On today's Saturday news, a huge return on Friday Night SmackDown.
Are WWE behind all the outrage behind Domino's Pizza and AEW?
The Universal Championship match for SummerSlam has officially been confirmed.
And we had a bunch of dark matches on SmackDown. Are you ready? Are you ready for the news time? Yes, my name is Phil Chambers and I'm joined by Gareth Morgan to talk all things wrestling on this fine Saturday. It's not that fine, it's raining. But before we get into it, make sure you like the video, comment down below and subscribe to the channel. And links are in the description to little timestamps to each story. Click them and away you go. But what have we got up first?
Well, it's a biggie. We got a biggie because the boss herself, she made her big SmackDown debut last night. And the pop, Phil, the pop that met Sasha Banks when she came down to the ring. She was defending and saving Bianca Belair because she got into a bit of a skirmish with Carmella and Zelina Vega, who both wanted another. Well, Carmella wanted another shot. Zelina Vega wanted a shot because she's a rising up-and-coming star, according to her. So that was a big thing. Sasha Banks came down to the ring. She, like, fought them off. And then they hugged, and everyone was like, oh, so she's a face. And everyone was kind of all for it, really. Everyone was, like, cheering. They're like, yeah, buddies. And it made a lot of sense because, obviously, they had the big SB moment where they got awarded the best WWE moment of the year, and they've been through so much together. And it was a bit like, yeah, this is quite organic. I can understand where they're going a little bit. But, oh, no, we're not allowed to have nice things in WWE because they had a tag match. It was put in the main event, and after winning said tag match, Sasha Banks locked in the boss statement. Yeah, the bank statement.
Bank
that
statement.
Was odd. Yeah, I don't know why I said boss statement. It's been a while, Sasha. I'm sorry. So she locked in the bank statement, won the match, and after a very elongated celebration, you sensed trouble was coming, and she hit the bank statement. She hit the backstabber on Bianca Belair and then locked in the bank statement. And it was pretty brutal. It lasted a very long time. And the boos that met Sasha Banks after, I've never seen this happen where somebody gets a nuclear pop from arriving as a babyface to at the end of the night getting booed out of the building and she's laughing like a maniacal just psychopath. It was great. Sasha Banks is a treasure.
Yeah, absolutely. I am really glad they've done this as well. Like, you got the big turn and then the switcheroo, turning it round on everyone. But I'm glad they've gone back with the heel and they're not just kind of running with a little baby face run because she's returned and she's not been there for a while, which they sometimes do. But Sasha Banks is so much better as a heel, I think. And yeah, this is great. It makes sense to run back the Bianca Belair match because it was the best thing on WrestleMania and one of the best matches this year of any company. And doing that again at SummerSlam, you've got to imagine the original plans was probably a triple threat with Bayley, maybe, and then obviously Bayley getting injured scuppered that, which is a shame. But just interested to see where they go after this. Are they going to double down on Bianca Belair or put the belt back over onto Sasha?
It's an interesting one. I think a big takeaway just off this angle straight away is that I think this may lead, just like, you can call me out on this, but I think this may lead to a better match at SummerSlam than what we got at Mania. I know, how's that even possible? But purely because we've not got a grey area Sasha Banks, like you just said.
Yes.
We've got full heel Sasha Banks. And if you've seen her, like the work she put in NXT as full heel Sasha Banks, this could be good.
Yeah, absolutely. But moving over for a second to something a little bit stranger. Are WWE behind all of this Domino's Pizza AEW trouble that's been going on? So this is quite a long story, so I've got a lot to go through. But started off with the Wrestling Observer and Dave Meltzer, and he had like two quotes from the Wrestling Observer that were quite interesting. And I'll just say that the first one was that Vince blew off AEW as competition at the same moment behind the scenes they were trying to take advantage of the bloodbath the night before. And a bit later he goes on to say that Domino's is a major sponsor of TNT and Warner Media, so this is a serious issue. There was a concerted campaign to contact sponsors, but at press time, Domino's was the only one that has reacted to the match. So that was all really Dave Meltzer said about it in the Observer newsletter. The Voices of Wrestling on Twitter have chimed up after that, saying that WWE have been calling journalists with the hopes that the story picks up steam, but so far it hasn't, nor has any advertiser pulled any money off the table as far as we know. And then after this, David Bixenspan got involved because he started wondering why the only tweet from the WWE's official PR account about the Q2 financials was from a story by Front Office Sports, which happened to be the same people who put up the big story about Domino's and AEW. So he went on to have a sort of look into this a little bit, and he stressed that an insider source that he's got has stressed that the timing of the Domino's commercial with the whole pizza slice and the cut directly to the Domino's pizza commercial is hilarious, yes, but is purely a coincidence. And that no other advertisers have raised any concerns about the match at all. So he goes on to break down the sort of Front Office Sports thing a little bit about things that he thought were a bit fishy, like a subheading claiming Domino's was threatening to pull ads, even though the official Domino's statement just said that they were assessing their advertising presence. There was also the statement says that we share concerns over this, even though there's been no talk anywhere of anyone else having any of these concerns, so I'm not entirely sure who they're sharing concerns with. It's all very conspiracy theory, this, I love it. He's also reached out to Domino's specifically to ask about the wording of that statement, and they haven't actually replied to him about that. But then later on he got a screenshot sent to him, to his Babyface versus Heel website that he works for, from a reporter from a mainstream publication that said that WWE contacted them about writing an article about the AEW Domino's pizza situation. Now, he couldn't show the official screenshot that they sent over because he agreed not to release any information about them, obviously, but said that this reporter doesn't normally specialize in wrestling news. So he reached out to AEW, WWE, and Michael McCarthy, who wrote the original Front Office Sports article, and no one has reached out to him or commented about it. And all of this is going on while WWE is insisting on the investors' call that they don't consider AEW as competition. Now, it should also be said that this is definitely not the first time that WWE have pulled anything like this. Like, back during the steroid trial, they were planting stories, like pro-WWE stories, in the media during that. There was a whisper campaign that they put out during the UFC expansion that was trying to get UFC banned in some sort of key European countries to try and halt that expansion. And yeah, loads more stuff going back through the years. So, fishy practice from WWE, but yeah, very interesting nonetheless.
Oh, it is, but you're not surprised by this kind of story. Company that could literally, a day before, come out and say, yeah, they're not a competition, then a day after you hear this story and go, yeah, sounds about right.
Desperately trying to rile everyone up and plant the stories in the media and make it much more like huge deal than just going viral on the internet.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where this oddly all just plays into AEW's hands. In my mind, it's publicity, yeah. And like, all publicity is good publicity in the long run. I know obviously there's been the a little pushback from Domino's saying that they weren't like fully aware of what was going to happen, which is kind of understandable. It was just an odd coincidence that exact moment was going to just bleed, again, great use of word there, but bleed into what was like the picture in picture. And it also had a pizza cutter, like, specifically. It was just the stars aligned in the most horrific and brutal way possible, but I'm glad it happened.
It should be said as well that as much as WWE may have made this a bigger deal than it was before, at the minute, Domino's haven't pulled any sponsorship from AEW. So that's still either an ongoing decision within that company or isn't going to happen. And also, because of this, AEW has at least gained one sponsor in Pabst Blue Ribbon, who has been desperately trying to get onto the show after all this has happened.
Yeah, you just got to poke fun at it. It's one of those things, and that's what they're doing. They're just trying to capitalize on the buzz. Like, there's people that I speak to who aren't necessarily involved in wrestling and don't really follow it as much as what they used to in the past. But I've mentioned this today, and suddenly it's on their radar, and they're interested in AEW. It's one of those things. It might be controversial in the short run, but it could actually weirdly attract people to the product. I know, odd.
Slight backfire there from WWE if it does.
Yeah, and speaking of all this as well, which this really did make me chuckle, Moxley spoke on the Cincy 360 radio show. He popped on there on Friday, and he had a little something to say to Domino's on the back of their apparent frustrations and their disavowing, apparently, of this whole situation that's gone down. He said, "Domino's Pizza needs to chill out." He's spoken. The man has spoken. He said, "They need to chill, man. It was a coincidence. You know what? Jump on the bandwagon, man. You don't think Nick Cage can sell some pizzas for you? Come on. You know that Noid is played out at this point, and you're bringing back the Noid? Come on." So, yeah, John Moxley's telling you to chill out, Domino's, and everyone else to chill out. You need to listen, or I think him and Nick Cage is going to go all pizza cutter on everyone's ass.
Fair. That's probably the most anyone's spoken about Domino's in quite a while, so they should be thanking AEW for this.
I think I'm going to have a Domino's tonight, Phil. Not going to lie. I need some Domino's and to rewatch that Jericho Nick Gage match because it was just brutal. But speaking of things that I don't think they're going to be quite as brutal, but they're probably going to be as eye-catching and probably draw in many, many more viewers, John Cena versus Roman Reigns at SummerSlam for the Universal Championship. It is official, but in... well, dubious circumstances. Let's just say that. So here's what happened. We had Finn Balor and Roman Reigns were going to sit down for a contract signing. And this came as a bit of a swerve to me because I didn't realize that Finn Balor's challenge to Roman Reigns was for SummerSlam. I don't know if I'm just an idiot. I thought, oh, it's probably just going to be a speed bump along the way. But WWE just threw it on social media that, oh, he's going for SummerSlam. And I thought, that's a bit odd. Something fishy's going to happen here. And it did, because Balor and Reigns went back and forth. Reigns had a dig at NXT, and then Pat McAfee popped up and was like, yes, Tuesdays at 8 o'clock. And I was like, I appreciate that. I appreciate that plug. And then Baron Corbin came down and attacked Finn Balor just before he could sign the contract. It looked like Baron Corbin was going to then sign the contract, but then Cena came out, battered him, got a Sharpie out, and then did the weirdest signature ever on the contract that had Finn Balor's name on it, but it wasn't his signature. But that officially meant that he was going to get the match against Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship.
That's how contracts work.
It is, yeah. It's precisely how they work. So even Paul Heyman was like, "Nah, it's not the name on the contract." And like everyone backstage was just like, "Nah, it's fine." It's very odd. But we don't care how we got there. We got there. No one's really going to be complaining about this. Everyone was chanting for Cena all the way through the segment. So Mr. Missionary is there. He's probably going to be in your main event.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, weird how they got here. I definitely felt like last week when Balor came in, then it was like, I challenge you like next week to a match or something. It didn't feel like it was a SummerSlam match. It's all been a little bit confusing. But we got there, and it's going to be Roman Reigns versus Cena, and it's going to be great. Let's face it.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Indeed. But speaking of SmackDown, before SmackDown, there was a couple of dark matches, and they've been doing this recently with some of the NXT guys, little tryouts before the shows start. And this time, it was Austin Theory and Odyssey Jones and Aaliyah and Indy Hartwell up there for some dark matches. Now, they just paired them off into two matches. Aaliyah beat Indy Hartwell, and Odyssey Jones beat Austin Theory. Now, the rumours going forwards eventually is that Aaliyah is going to be full-time with Raw, and that Austin Theory...
Shocked me then,
not
Phil.
Gargano, I know, yeah. that Austin Theory, obviously on NXT this week, Gargano kind of said that he'd run away from home. Indy Hartwell is still obviously a big part of the Gargano, like Dexter Lumis story, and Odyssey Jones is still in the breakout tournament, so they've still got some things that they would need to clear up before they get moved up. But they've done this with a few people recently. Karrion Kross is obviously the first one who went through a few dark matches and then got put onto the main roster. Whatever we feel about that, it happened. But yeah, it looks like these are the ones that they are looking at for future call-ups.
Yeah, these are quite interesting because Indy Hartwell in particular, that feels like it's come a bit out of left field. I think she's got a lot of... progression that she still needs to go through in NXT. I think she's very talented. I think she's got a big future really in this company, but I'd give her another couple of years personally in NXT. I think the same applies to Odyssey Jones. I saw him in the breakout tournament a couple of weeks ago, and I thought he looked really good, but again, still somebody who just probably needs to develop a little bit more. Reminds me of somebody like Bronson Reed, who has this size and this athletic ability, but hadn't really found his character, and now Reed has, and I think Reed's on the cusp of a call-up as well. I think he'll do great things, honestly, wherever he lands. Personally, I want it to be SmackDown. Don't want to go on too much of a tangent, but I do want it to be SmackDown. But I'm intrigued. I can see the upside of all four of these people, so I'm hoping for big things all around.
Yeah, absolutely. The Odyssey Jones one in particular, it seems like Vince McMahon just saw a picture of him and was like, yep.
Yeah.
And that was about it.
sometimes that's enough, man.
It is indeed. But yes, moving over to your Twitter questions to end the video. We've got a few here. The first one comes from Josh Davis, who says, my doggo Opie has just watched the second Labour of Jericho. If you could choose a Labour, what would it be? Me, I imagine MJF bringing back the lashing, but he would make Sammy Guevara carry them out.
Oh, that's just savage. Yeah. I like it. I'm into that stuff. I'm going to cheat. I'm probably going to go off Twitter because I've been reading through feeds of what people have been saying they want, and I saw a few really good suggestions. So the first one I really like is the idea of Lance Storm. I always want to say Lance Archer or Lance Armstrong. I don't know what that is. But Lance Storm having a match with Jericho, just like a technical classic kind of thing, because I think that was one of his first ever matches in the industry. That'd be a nice callback.
And they're kind of vaguely going through his past, like they brought back the Painmaker for this one, and then they're doing the...
Hoovy's coming back. That'd be good. But either that or another flash in the past. They should make him try and recite all the 1,001 holds, however many holds it is, of Jericho. They should do that. Say, right, you have to remember them all from memory, stand in the middle of the ring, go through them all, just go through commercial, do the picture break, and he's going through them all. That would be impressive as hell. We could actually get away with that. So, yeah. What about you, Phil?
My mind immediately went back to old school ECW and Tommy Dreamer getting the Singapore Kane hits, like, please, sir, can I have another, and going through it. It's kind of on the same vein as the lashings, but just painful TV. And I think they don't have to be matches as well, like, do they? The trials, like, they have so far, but it doesn't mean that all of them need to be, and maybe he just needs to get through something hideous.
Yeah, I think that'd keep it fresh. I think you got a good point there. I think if they do just mix it up a little bit and don't just keep doing matches, I think it'll give it a bit more legs, let's say.
Aye. The next question comes from IIron17, who says, what would be your go-to weapon if you found yourself trapped in a death match with Nick Gage?
Oh, this is a tough one. I've got a lot of miscellaneous objects here to my left that I could use in a savage battle with Nick Gage, but there's only one that I think could effectively do the job. My yellow highlighter of the week. I'd just get him in the eye, man, and I'd just do some savage stuff to him. So it would be very ineffective, Phil, but it would be a gimmick, so that's fine. What about you?
You had to get that in there somewhere, didn't you?
I had to get the gimmick, man. You got to live the gimmick.
I would just go all out and make some kind of crazy-ass table filled with glass, light tubes, barbed wire, fire, nails, thumbtacks, spikes, everything. It's Nick Gage. You need to go all out or go home. Just push him off the apron through it all and hope for the best.
We got real opposite sides of the spectrum there, didn't we, Phil? That's it. You get all the content here in What Culture, right? Something for everyone.
And the final question comes from ChefMellow86, who says, given the heat from Domino's towards AEW, what pizza brand would win in a death match? Papa John's, Pizza Hut, Little Caesars, or Domino's? What do you reckon?
Oh, you give us
king
options.
King of the death match pizzas.
King of the dough. King of the dough pizza. What were the options, Phil?
Well, you can pick your own, I'm sure. But Papa John's, Pizza Hut, Little Caesars, or Domino's?
We don't have Little Caesars here, do we?
I don't know.
I'm a basic Pizza Hut boy. Like, that got me through drama school. So I go full Pizza Hut, get me those thick wedge crusts, slam them over the head with it. Yeah, I'm all Pizza Hut. What about you?
I'd go with that. I think old school, got the experience there. I think they can pull it off.
It's been a varied video, this, hasn't it? Pizza
and on that note, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to the channel, like the video, and comment down below what you think of all of today's stories. You can follow us on Twitter. You can do that as well. At PhilMyChambers is mine, and at GMorgan04 is Mr. Gareth over there. Go follow us both and follow us all at WhatCultureWWE while you're at it. More stuff upcoming. Ups and Downs for SmackDown is coming later on today. But most importantly, have yourselves a bloody good day.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.